We'll be in the book of Philippians chapter 4. So that's the fourth chapter of Philippians. Philippians is located in the New Testament, the Second Testament. And if you can please stand with me, we'll begin reading at verse 10 through 20. That's Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. And it reads, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, when you sent help for my needs once again. Now, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment, and more, I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the reading of God's word. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for all the bountiful blessings you have given us, Lord. We thank you that you give strength to those who trust in you, Lord. And Father, we ask this morning that you hear our prayers and that you open the ears of these your people and that so that we may hear your word, so that we may know your voice. Father, we ask that you speak to our hearts, that you must strengthen us to serve you and to glorify you. Father, let us through the proclamation of this spoken word know you and your living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. For it is through Christ who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever glorified, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The other day, I read a story about a 12-year-old kid from Sandy, Utah. This young boy approached his local postal delivery man, and he asked him if he had any extra advertisements or newspapers. The boy explained that he loved to read, but his family was poor and they couldn't afford many books. And the library was too far for him to bike to, and his family didn't have enough money to supply a car to take him, and the bus was too expensive, so he had no way to get to the library. So he decided, well, I'll ask the postman for any extra books or advertisements that he may have. The postman was floored. He didn't know what to do. He was flabbergasted. Here it was, this young boy asking not for video games, not for an iPad or iPhone, no phone or tablets. Here it was, he was asking for books. Now, I tell you, not many kids ask for books. Trust me, I have a few, and none of them has ever come up to me and said, Daddy, I want a book. They want tablets and they want phones, but not books. Anyway, the mailman decided to ask his Facebook friends for help. Soon this young child received books from all over the world, as far away as India. The child was reported as saying that he plans to read each and every book that he received. And when he's finished, he plans to share them with other book-starved children. There's another story about a lady who was in a really bad car accident. She was in a hospital, and she had severe back pain. After battling with her back pain for some time, she was able to get back to work, but the recovery was slow. And as the days progressed, she became in and out of the hospital, missing more and more days of work. Well, as time progressed, it became close to the holiday season. And prior to the accident, this young lady, she wanted to visit her family who lived in another state. And she had saved all year for this trip. But when it came time, she wasn't sure she would be able to take it because, one, she couldn't afford to lose any more days of work because she had no more sick days or vacation days left. And two, because she missed so many days of work, she thought she was going to get fired. Well, she shows the work, and her boss immediately calls her into the office and tells her she wants to speak with her. So the boss brings this young lady to the office and has her sit down in front of her, and she says, "Susan, this morning I spoke to HR. I spoke with human resources." Susan's head dropped. She knows what's coming. The boss looks her straight in the eye. She says, "You've missed a lot of days. You have no vacation days left. And I hear the holidays are coming and you want to see your family." Susan just stares blankly. The boss looks at her dead in the eye. She tells her, "I spoke with HR this morning and I instructed them to give you my vacation days so you can go see your family." Her boss was known as a hard woman, but she showed her soft side. You know, we all want something to matter in life. We all want to do something in life that matters. It's a part of the reason why we do some of the things that we do. We get jobs, we chase promotions, we look for leadership positions. We all do this in order to make a difference in life. We encourage our kids to go to college in hopes that one day they make some money and maybe also make a difference as well. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having wealth and seeking influence and wanting leadership. But those things alone will not change the world. Those things alone will not give us what is important in life and will not get us to the purpose of what God has created us for. You see, God made each and every unique, and he gave us talents. He gave us abilities. He gave us personalities. He gave us skill sets. And we are to take those God-given talents, gifts, and abilities. We are to take those God-given talents to build not a future for ourselves, but to build a future for his kingdom, to build the church of Christ. So for the past few weeks, we've been in a series titled Visionary. The idea of this series is learning how we can take our ordinary life to the extraordinary. And today we're going to be looking at visionary thinking, visionary living, and visionary giving. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells us three extraordinary things, three secrets for visionary giving. And he says that these three secrets are very much this. We need to be content in God's provision. We need to be concerned for God's people. And we need to be confident in God's power. So we begin looking at contentment with the provisions of God, being content with God's provision. Look with me at Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 and 13, verse 10 through 13. It says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern for me. For you were indeed concerned for me, but had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, when we read this scripture, we often zero in on that last verse right there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's true. You can do many things through Christ who strengthens you. But if you look at the context, Paul isn't talking about lifting weights, although some of us can lift some weights. You know, we lift hamburgers. We need to lift some weights. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. You know, I was at a conference and people were screaming and shouting about they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. They can walk on water through the strength of Christ. They can lift through the strength of Christ. They can get promotions through the strength of Christ. That's not what Paul is talking about here. What Paul is talking about is I can be content through the strength of Christ. Think about that. I have learned, he said, that in every circumstance, I can be content because Christ strengthens me. He gives me the strength to be satisfied. How many of you guys have that strength to be satisfied? We live in a generation of wanting more and more and doing less and less. You know, we live in a generation, we live in a time when everybody wants something, but nobody wants to do something for it. But what does God desire from us? He desires for us to give him our life. He desires for us to give him the respect and the honor that he's due by trusting in him, by leaning on him. You see, what Paul is talking about in this, he's talking about visionary giving. And he says, visionary giving trusts God. That is what it means to be content. It means that you rest in God. You rest in the provisions that God has given you. You look at your circumstance and you say, you know what? There were times when I did not think I could make it, but I know that through God's strength in me, I can get it done. You know, Jesus talks about that. Jesus talks about that. He says that there is a way to look at life, and the way to look at life is through the prism of Christ and through the prism of God's word. And he says that he said it this way. He says that the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He said that I have lived a life that is tough and hard, but yet I have lived a life looking not to the people, but looking to my Father for my sustenance, trusting in him, learning to give God our trust. That means that when times are tough, when things are difficult, we rest in God. We don't get antsy. We don't get anxious, but rather we rest in God. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. In the sixth chapter of Matthew, it's right smack in the middle of the Beatitudes. And here, Jesus is speaking about not worrying. Earlier, he says that we should not be anxious about what we should eat. Don't be anxious about what you should do. Don't be anxious about what you put on. I mean, today is Sunday. We want to put on our Sunday best, but you shouldn't be worried about that. You know, who cares? I mean, maybe pink goes with blue. Maybe it doesn't, you know, but you wear it because it's clean and you want to look nice and you don't want to smell. You don't worry about what you are adorned in. He says, but this is what you need to worry about. In verse 33, he says, this is what you need to do. He says, don't worry about any of the stuff that goes on in life, but rather, he says, seek first the righteousness of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. He says, if you do that, then all this other stuff will be added to you. All these other things that we're searching for, all these other things that we want the car, we want the house, we want, but God says, what about me? Seek me first. You know, there's this song that was written quite some time ago. I forget who the artist was, but it's called Shopping List. And I think it captures completely the attitude of most people, especially Christians. This is the way that we pray when we pray to God. These are the prayers that we pray. Listen to the lyrics of this song. It says, Lord, I need to talk to you. There's so much on my heart. So many burdens make it hard to know just where to start. Thank you for your family, your mercy, and your love. Now, on to more important things. I want to give my magic lamp a rub. Give me this. I want that. Bless me, Lord, I pray. Grant me what I think I need to make it through the day. Make me wealthy. Keep me healthy. Fill in what I missed on my never-ending shopping list. I want a nice smile, a perfect face, perfect hair that will stay in place. I want a smaller nose and a single chin and a figure like a perfect 10. And a mom that never yells or screams and hips that fit in designer jeans and a tennis court and a heated pool. And Lord, I can use them as a witnessing tool. A color TV and a VCR and Jesus plates on a brand new car. Give me this. I want that. Bless me, Lord, I pray. Grant me what I think I need through the day. Make me healthy, keep me wealthy. Fill in what I missed on my never-ending shopping list. These are the type of prayers that we pray. This is how we approach God. And we approach God this way because we don't trust God. We don't trust that he's going to take care of us. We don't believe him when he says that I will supply all of your needs. We don't believe him when he says I am with you always. We don't believe him when he says seek first the kingdom and all these things will be given unto you. We don't believe him. Like Paul said, we don't trust him. Paul was able to trust God. He says, I have the strength to do all things to be content in God. I have the power. I have the ability. I have the might to step out in faith and trust God. But also notice, returning to our text in Philippians, but also notice that visionary giving just doesn't trust God. Visionary giving thanks God. He's writing this letter to the Philippians to give them and God thanks. He says that I am not speaking in need because I learned to be content in every situation. He says, but I am speaking concerning you because I know that through your giving, God will bless you. And I thank God for you. He's thanking God for people who were meeting his need. He is thanking God for people who were praying for him, who was providing for him. He is thanking God for people who were there for him. And he says that you were there for me, but you were there because God sent you. And he's thanking God for their willingness to be sent to him in his time of need. We need to sit back sometimes and just look at all the things that God has given us. And to be content is to be satisfied. And to be satisfied is to be thankful. To be thankful for the things that God has given me. You know, there was this cartoon by Ed Schultz. It was Snoopy. It's the Charlie Brown cartoon. And Charlie Brown has this Christmas special that everyone loves. But Charlie Brown also has a Thanksgiving special. And Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, Snoopy is outside on his on top of his doghouse. And he's on top of his doghouse, and it's cold and it's raining. But inside is nice and warm with the fire. And Charlie Brown is inside with his family, and they got the juicy turkey and all the fixings are all around. And Snoopy, his poor beagle dog, is outside in the rain, in the cold, hungry, tired, miserable. But the caption on the cartoon has the thoughts of Snoopy. And Snoopy's thought is this: it could be worse. I could have been born a turkey. God wants us to be thankful for the things that we have, because it could be worse. It really could be worse. You could have been born a turkey on Thanksgiving. You see, God has positioned you and he's placed you exactly where he wants you. And you say, well, you know what? God must want me to be in perpetual need, because he placed me in perpetual need. I don't ask the mailman for books. I ask the mailman not to give me bills. And he seems to think that if I ask for a book, he'll give me a bill. That's what I wanted. But get this. Get this. God may have you in that perpetual need so that you can be on your perpetual knees. Sometimes the only time we talk to God is if we're in need. I know, I'm a student. Trust me. Every time the test comes, there is a lot of prayer in that seminary. The seminary students never pray so hard as when there's a theology test coming up. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of knees bowed. There's a prayer room, and it's standing room only. But what about when things are going good? What about when things are to the best of their ability? We tend not to thank God. We tend not to think about God. Consider this statistic. Christians gave a higher percentage of their income, about 3% of their income, during the Great Depression than they do today, which is about 2%. During the time of the country's greatest need, believers gave the greatest amount. But during the times of great prosperity, we give nothing. We give little. You know, we give God a tip, like we do a waitress or a waiter. Let's be an equal opportunity person here. You go to the restaurant and you sit down. And then what do you do? You leave a tip. The tip is supposed to be what, 10%, 15%, usually 15%, right? We we ask at the church, you know, a tithe 10%, you know, that's what we say. Well, that we don't demand. I don't think you should demand anybody to give anything. But, you know, we say, you know, a good measuring rod would be about 10%, but you'll give 15% to the waiter. And that's how we look at God, right? Because guess what we do with the waiter? Based off of what? Services rendered. We give God a tip based off of services rendered. Lord, if you're here for me, I'll be there for you. Lord, I will serve you. I will go across the street and I will talk to that person. But first, Lord, you got to do this for me. We need to thank God for where we are. Paul says that I have learned to be content in every circumstance. You know what else that means? It's not only about trusting God. It's not only about thanking God. It's also about treasuring God. Paul says that we have to have visionary giving. We must treasure God. To treasure is to value, to put a premium on God. Do you place a premium on your relationship with God? Is your relationship with God the number one important thing for you? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God, or are you seeking first your kingdom? You see, this idea is that God will supply what we have need if we take care of what he wants, to do his will. We must treasure God. We must value him. We must put a premium on God. And if we put a premium on God, then we put a premium on God's people. Because that's the next thing that Paul speaks about. He says, visionary giving is not just content with God's provisions. Visionary giving is concerned with God's people. Look at verses 14 through 20. It says, yet it was kind of you to share my troubles. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into relationship and partnership, giving me thanks or giving and receiving when I left. Excuse me. No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you, even at Thessalonica when you sent help for my needs once again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever. Here Paul is saying that I was in need. You sent help. Help came right in time. You were concerned about me because you were concerned about the people of God. And I am one of God's people. You know, people tend to not be concerned with what they see around them. True generosity, true giving, visionary giving, meets people at the point of need. Paul was in prison for the gospel. He was like a soldier on the front line. When I was in the military, I was a soldier. I was a sailor. Soldier, sailor, military man. I say sailor, and then people think I was on a ship, but I wasn't. I was a sailor, but I was part of the Marine Corps. I was a corpsman. And we went to Iraq, and I was on the front line. And when you were out there on the front line, you're dependent upon those in the rear. You're dependent upon them for supplies, for ammunition, for radio contact. But when those things are running low, when those things are running out, you need a lifeline. And these Philippians provided Paul a lifeline. He was in prison, almost facing capital punishment for being what they call an insurrectionist. He was exciting trouble trying to throw over the Roman government because he said that Christ was king and not Caesar. And they put him in prison for it. We don't have that type of persecution, but trust me, it's probably coming. And the question is, will you be on the front line or will you be in the rear guard? You can serve God in both areas, but if you're the ones in the rear guard, then you have to send help to those in the front line. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, you sent help in the front line. But some people get the wrong attitude towards giving. They forgot that, they forget, too many people forget that God uses people to meet the needs of other people. They've forgotten that God has given us the ability to meet the needs in the life of someone else. Some people see someone who's naked and hungry and needs something warm and needs to be fed, and they don't offer them clothing. They don't offer them food, but rather they offer them criticism, and they say, why are you in that position? Get a job, you bum. Visionary giving sees the needs that are there. And it says that I will meet that need. And that need is met through our giving of ourselves to God. Placing ourselves at the disposal of God. Visionary giving is displayed in our service, not to each other only, but to God primarily. The way we serve shows who we serve. Who do you serve? Do you serve self? Because if you serve self, then you're going to serve others with this attitude of give me, give me, give me, give me. But if you serve God, then you're going to serve others with this attitude of, Lord, what can I do next? How can I meet the next need? What can I do to move your kingdom forward for your glory? But too many times we're seeking our glory, but it's his glory that we should chase after. See, visionary giving says that, Lord, I put myself at your disposal. That means sometimes I might have to be sent overseas. That means sometimes I might have to be sent next door. I talk about my time in the military, but you know what? All of us are in the military. We are all in the military. And we love to sing those militaristic songs during the 4th of July, those patriotic songs, you know. But we forget what they mean, you know. We love to say, I'm in the army. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. We love to sing that, but we don't believe that. It's good when we're in the sanctuary, but when we leave out into the neighborhood, we don't believe that. We don't say, Lord, I am conscripted in your service. I have been recruited for you. Because when you're in the military and your commanding officer says, go, you go. When you're in the military and your commanding officer says, do this, you do it. But we don't believe it because we don't serve God with the visionary heart. Visionary giving is also displayed in the way that we share. True generosity is experienced through identifying with another, showing interest, getting involved in the life of another. It's displayed in how we share not only ourselves, not only our resources, but how we share our Lord and Savior. Are you sharing Christ? Sharing requires loving care. Sharing requires sacrificial action. Are you putting yourself first or are you putting yourself last? Sharing also involves understanding this essential principle. Paul says that these Ephesians understood this partnership, he says, that we have. This partnership in giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. That's a spiritual truth underlying that. What you sow, you will reap. You reap what you sow. If you sow bad, you reap bad. If you sow good, you reap good. And it's not just talking about finances. It's talking about spirituality as well. The nature of a generous sharing is found in this idea of I am building up a storehouse in heaven for the blessings. It's motivated by goodness towards God and obedience towards his word. If you share it, it will be recorded and you will be rewarded for it. Look at verse 18. 4:18, it says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. He's saying that you have given a sacred blessing, not to me, but to God. And God is pleased. And that leads me to the next point. Visionary giving produces great pleasure. Great pleasure. And here's the thing. The great pleasure is a three-way street. You know, there was a song a few years back. I think it was Denise Williams or something. I can't remember the artist. I found love on a two-way street. La, 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 la. You know, I'm not going to sing it. But, you know, basically, you know, you heard of, you know, love is a two-way street. Well, in the economy of God, giving and a receiving of pleasure is a three-way street. You see, Paul says that he was pleased to receive the gift. So the first street or the first pleasure is the person who receives, who's on the receiving end of the gift. He says the Philippians were pleased to know that Paul received the gift and he was blessed by it. So the second pleasure is the Philippians for meeting the needs of the other. So you give, and the person you gave to, he's pleased, and then you're pleased that he's pleased, and then the third street is God, because God is pleased in the person who gave. He said, you see, God was pleased as well. So that's the most important right there, because whereas giving is a three-way pleasure boat. It produces great pleasure, and that's a three-way street, but it's also a double blessing. Because, get this, you get blessed by knowing that you met the need of someone else, so that blesses you, and then God blesses you because God is pleased with you, so you get blessed a double time. You get the double portion of blessing for obeying God, for believing in God, for trusting God. God says that I have counted all of your gifts, and I have a storehouse, and that storehouse is building a building big enough for you to drive a forklift through in heaven. I am building a place for you. I am building a storehouse for you. And that storehouse is a window of blessings that God is going to pour out because we are obedient to him. You see, God gets pleasure when his children begin to act like his son. And he sees us acting like Christ, and he's very happy, and he's very pleased, and he crowns us with the same crown that he crowns Christ with. Jesus says that you will share in my kingdom by obeying my God. And that leads me to my next point about visionary giving not only produces great pleasure, visionary giving produces great promises. God cares for the person who suffers righteously, But God also cares for the person who helps that righteous sufferer. And he says that you, if you help that person who is in need, you will never be in need yourself. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. If you meet the needs of someone else, if you serve someone else, if you serve Christ, if you give to his kingdom, if you build up his kingdom, he says that you will never be in want. God cares for you, and he's promised to supply all of your needs. But get this. Notice what that scripture says. We love to quote it. We love to quote it. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And we usually put it my needs, but it says your needs. But we used to say my needs. But let's say my needs according to his riches and glory. Notice it says my needs. It says God has promised to supply our needs. God did not promise to solve our problems. He says that I haven't promised that your problems will go away, but I have promised that your need will be met. You see, sometimes we forget that Jesus says that we're supposed to pray for a daily bread, a daily portion. We want to pray for a daily decade. We say, Lord, I ask you this morning to give me this day my daily decade because I want a storehouse. But get this, the more that God gives to you, the more that you give away, the more that you receive in return. It's like a never-ending fountain. It's a fountain that the more is poured out, the more is poured in. And if you pour out yourself in service to God, God is going to pour in more into you. And then you pour out more, and then he pours in more, and then you're just getting blessed and blessed in this perpetual cycle of blessing. Because notice it says that he says that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches, not out of his riches. And there's a difference between according to and out of. According to is not out of. If I'm a millionaire and I give $1,000, that's out of my abundance, not according to my abundance. According to my abundance is over and above. And God is saying that I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory, his riches and glory. Think about how wealthy and rich God is in the spiritual realm. And think about how wealthy he is in the physical realm. And think about all the things that God will supply for you according to his riches, according to his glory. And let me ask you this question. Do you think you're going to outgive God? Do you think you're ever going to outdo God? Because he's saying that I have an eternal supply waiting for you. And if you would just tap into it, if you would just trust me and to give according to what I am asking you, I am going to give according to what I already have, which is an eternal blessing and never-ending abundance. And we're walking around waiting for God to do something. And God is saying, I want to do it, but I need to see your faith in me and trust in me. And if I can trust in God, he will supply everything I have need. Now, I'm not saying that we're supposed to just, you know, give all of our money and hope that the bill gets paid. But what I am saying is that if you trust in God, then he will show you how to live for him. He will show you that I have never, according to Proverbs, I have never seen a righteous begging for bread, nor have I seen his children go hungry. God will supply all of your needs. And this is the great part, because not only does it produce great pleasure, visionary giving produces great promises, but it also produces great praise. Paul breaks into a praise fest. He says, to God be the glory forever and ever. He says that God is going to be glorified because he is honored and blessed by our sacrifice. He is honored and blessed by our obedience. And think about it. That's all we're giving him is obedience. All we're giving him is ourselves. All we're saying is like, Lord, here I am. Take me. Use me however you want to. And he is saying that, yes, yes, I can use you. I will use you. But I am going to bless you to do it. He is going to bless you so he can use you. And you say, I want to be blessed by God, but I don't want to be used by God. I want to receive the benefits, Lord, but I don't want to work for it. I mean, not getting too political, but that's the idea that's going around nowadays, right? I mean, you know, free this, free that, free everything. You don't have to work for it. But that's not the economy of God. He didn't say that all of your needs would be met just willy-nilly. He says all of your needs would be met according to the service and obedience that you give to me, according to the trust that you put in me, according to the love that you give to me. How often are you going to show God love? How often are you going to show God you trust him? How often are you going to show God just how much he means to you? All you have to do is say, Lord, here I am. Use me. And I guarantee you, the blessing will come. And it will come, and it will come, and it will come. Because our God is an everlasting God. He is a God that has everlasting blessings just for you. Let us pray.